You are listening to the new voice of Conservative Talk Radio. Unafraid and aggressive, he will take on anyone, including Republicans. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also, follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready and visit him on the web at aaronmccready.com.
Well, we've got some sad news coming out of Fort Hood, Texas today. 4 years ago, as you recall, Fort Hood was the site of a shooting there at that military base, and it has happened again today. According to CNN and Fox News, it appears that the gunman is dead, but 14 has been injured. Out of those 14, we do not know what the severity of the injuries are, but 14 right now have been injured. That may go up, but the gunman is dead. And this is how CNN, when the story broke, this is how CNN reported it.
At this hour, officials at Fort Hood are telling CNN they have an active shooter on base. I've just gotten off the phone with a source who works there. This official telling me there is an active shooter right now at Fort Hood. In fact, Fort Hood's Twitter account is advising all personnel at this time to shelter in place. Wolf, the reports are very sketchy, very preliminary, breaking just now as we are talking about it. This official also telling me sirens are going off everywhere on base right now. Security personnel obviously responding to this situation. We do not know, Wolf, the full scope of it and exactly what is going on. But at Fort Hood, Texas, this really makes people quite concerned because, of course, this was the base in 2009 where an Army major, Major Nadal Hassan, went on a shooting rampage, killed 13, wounded more than 30, and was convicted on all murder and attempted murder charges. So Fort Hood, obviously very sensitive to the situation of an active shooter on base. There will be plenty of questions when we find out more details, what exactly is happening and how anyone potentially got on base with weapons and could have done something like this. Right now, Wolf, very sketchy information, but Fort Hood officials are saying they do have an active shooter on the installation.
And we have no information if this is one shooter, multiple shooters. Do we, Barbara?
We do not, Wolf. We just simply do not. Fort Hood, we've all been there in covering the military, is one of the largest bases in the country, spreads out over many, many acres, many buildings. Thousands of people come and go off that base every day. I will say that I think we all know most of these active shooter incidents really genuinely only involve one person. Anything beyond that, you're talking about some sort of major conspiracy. They generally don't turn out to be that. But look, we are just in the initial moments of this, so the answer is we don't know. What we have been told, active shooter, but when they go, when the security personnel go into these types of situations, they will sweep through and look for any indication of any potential perpetrator, Wolf.
Now, that was CNN when this first broke, but now, as we know, that it appears that there was only one gunman. The gunman is dead, and there are 14 injured. That number could go up, but again, we do not know the severity of the 14 injuries. Some may be in critical condition. Some may just be slightly injured. We just do not know. But one thing that, you know, when this broke and I started really looking into it, one thing that I discovered, and if you're just joining us, give us a call, 646-200-3400. Love to get your take on your thoughts of this Fort Hood shooting, this just tragedy 4 years after Major Nadal Hassan went on a rampage at the same base in Texas. But Fox News yesterday reported this, and there's no certainty that this is connected, but it appears, I mean, you'll listen to it and hear that from what Fox News reported yesterday, that there was reports that there may be a jihad on Fort Hood. And this was yesterday, that there may be attacks on Fort Hood. And then, of course, today we get the reports that 14 are injured and the gunman is dead. And, you know, I'm glad he's dead. He needs to be dead. But listen to this Fox News report. And this was yesterday. Ignore all the beeps and everything at the beginning, but this was Fox News yesterday.
A Fox News alert and Fox News exclusive for you. A massive manhunt now underway for the Army recruit who wants to reenact Fort Hood, bragging about jihad against U.S. troops. Peter Ducey following that alarming story out of Washington, D.C. Peter, what do we know now about the suspect? Are they closer to finding him?
Elizabeth, all we know is that a U.S. Army recruit named Booker, also known as Muhammad Abdullah Hassan, was all set to start basic training next Monday on April 7th. He was recruited by a U.S. Army office in Kansas City just 2 months ago, back in February, but was recently discharged when authorities discovered his desire to commit jihad. A law enforcement alert obtained by FoxNews.com specifically states that their concern is over a Fort Hood-inspired jihad against U.S. soldiers. Remember, 13 people were killed and 32 others injured in a terrorist attack on Fort Hood back in 2009. In this case, FBI agents in the Kansas City Division say they interviewed Booker just 2 weeks ago on March 20th, and they have information now that he's told his friends goodbye and made other comments that create the impression his jihad is imminent and a deadly plot could unfold at any time. That's all contained in an alert that is being circulated among police in Kansas City and officers throughout the military as well, with the purpose of trying to protect people who might come across Booker so that they know what he's all about. And it is normal for bulletins like this one that threaten military installations and personnel to be shared among agencies like this, like what's happening right now. Elizabeth?
Peter, let me ask you, we have not as of yet seen a photo of this Booker. Now we hear his friends leaving remarks about him saying goodbye. Is there a reason why we have not seen a photo?
Elizabeth, we haven't seen a photo, and we don't know how old this person is that they're looking for. And the reason, at least at our end, is we just don't have the full alert. Our friends over at FoxNews.com got a portion of the alert that just has the basics. It's got this person's name, that he says he intends to commit jihad, and when he was supposed to report for basic training. Beyond that, so far, we don't have any more specifics.
Now, that was yesterday on Fox News, and then today we have a shooting. Now, NBC News is now reporting that the Fort Hood gunman is identified as... NBC News is reporting that the Fort Hood gunman is identified as 34-year-old Ivan Lopez. Now, don't know if there's any connection to the report that Fox News had yesterday on the possible jihad and this person named Booker was telling their friends goodbye. But, you know, it seems a little suspicious that yesterday this report comes out, and I do not know why this wasn't all over the news. I maybe I'm just living under a rock, but I did not hear it, did not know about it. But that this report came from Fox News yesterday, and then today, of course, we have the shooting. If you're just joining us, 14 are injured and one dead. It looks like it's the gunman. And, you know, that brings me into a point that no doubt will come again after this shooting. And if you're just joining us, too, Bob Barr will be on in just a little bit. He's a former congressman. He led the charge against Bill Clinton in his impeachment hearings. And he really stands up for morals and for the Constitution, and he'll be on at the bottom of the hour. But, and I'll ask him this too, if he thinks that the left will cry, we need more gun laws, more gun regulations. But, you know, one thing that I'm thinking about is this happened on a military base. This happened on a military installation. Now, why would we need more gun regulations on something that takes place on a military base? In my opinion, I would argue the point that we need less gun regulations. Because the bad guys, if they want to kill somebody, you know, the guns don't kill people. People kill people. You hear that all the time. But we need less gun regulation. We need guns in the hands of good people that want to carry firearms. Because what do you wish when you run into a bad guy with a gun? You're going to wish that there is a good guy with a gun right there near you. That's what you wish. And look at the Virginia Tech shootings a few years ago. Do you think that if there was somebody in those classrooms with a gun, that that shooter would have been able to kill as many people as he did and go on that rampage? Somebody would have shot him dead. Looks like now reports are coming through that four now are dead, including the gunman. That's four dead, including the gunman. Trying to get reports and see how many are injured, but again, four dead, including the gunman. And this is 11 past the hour. But, you know, I just don't understand. You know, the people on the left want to disarm America in their convoluted thoughts that this is really going to protect America, make America better. All it is doing is disarming the people that need to be armed. Why would we want to have a society that arms the criminals, but the innocent, law-abiding, everyday Americans that go to work to try to feed their families, go to work to make a life for themselves, and they can't protect their families because some bureaucrat up in Washington, D.C., or some idiotic president like we have right now decides, oh, you can't have the gun. The guns kill people. And they're so arrogant that they believe that, oh, we're going to pass this law. Whatever I say goes. Everybody will listen because I'm so arrogant. I'm the president. I'm a congressman. I'm a member of the House. I'm a member of the Senate. Whatever we vote, people will listen because, my gosh, we're a politician. Well, I've got news for every politician listening to this program. If the president's listening, I've got news for them. That doesn't stop the bad guys. What would stop the bad guys is somebody there with a gun saying, hey, you better think twice. Looks like that the suspected Fort Hood shooter's dead, of course, and initial reports say the attack was soldier on soldier. So let me ask you this. How's more gun legislation going to stop this shooting? But no doubt you'll hear the president come out tomorrow and try to take advantage of it and try to pass more gun legislation to try to disarm Americans because in their convoluted thought they think it's going to make it a safer place. Well, let me tell you something. If a bad guy's in a theater or a bad guy's in your child's school or a bad guy's in your church and they pull out a gun and then they have five other people pull out a gun right there at them, don't you think they're going to think twice before they pull the trigger? And if it's a mission of them to kill themselves or a mission of suicide that they want to kill people and then pull the gun on themselves, well, I tell you what, let's just make it easy for them. We'll just kill the guy for them. We'll kill him for himself in order to protect American lives. And I'll tell you, the left may send me hate emails. They send me messages on Twitter, but I don't care. I don't care what people think. It's what's right. What's good for America? What's right for America? You know, what is the saying, and I may get this wrong, so it may take me a couple tries, but what is popular isn't always right, and what right isn't always popular. And that's the case right now. You know, nobody wants to see people die. Nobody wants to see people, you know, go and shoot up places and kill innocent Americans. Not the right, not the left, not Republican, not Democrat, not Libertarian, independent, whatever you are. Nobody wants to see that. But when you disarm Americans, and I know I keep repeating myself, but when you disarm Americans, you just make it easier for the criminals to get the guns and go and do whatever they want to, and you give them a heyday. You give them a field day with their guns. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but in the United States, an average of 13 children a day are killed or murdered. And it's with guns. Homicide is the second, cause of death for people between 10 and 19 years old. And for black males, it's the number one. Do you think they would think twice if they thought, people around me is going to have a gun too? Before I go walk down this street and prove my stuff because I'm a thug, I'm walking down the streets of Atlanta or New York or L.A., and I'm a big man. I look at my gun. I'm a big man. It's kind of like a bully. Do you think a bully is going to go to somebody and bully them if they think they're going to get their teeth knocked out? No. That person that you're going to go after may just up and shoot you. You don't know. 646-200-3400. 646-200-3400. Or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready and join our online chat going on right there. It just makes me sick. I mean, it breaks my heart, really, to know that, I don't know, I'm up in a tirade. I'm sorry. I had a whole other subject line that I was going to talk about today. And, of course, we have Bob Barr coming on at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned for him. We'll ask him about some of this, too. But feel free to debate me on this topic. If you disagree with me, listen, we're all Americans. That's the great thing about America. That is the great thing about America. I can disagree with you. You can disagree with me. We can disagree with the president. We can disagree with our elected officials. Go to some of these other countries that you don't have freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. And there's a point to argue, too, there. That better rights are being deteriorated. 646-200-3400 if you want to call in and debate me on this issue. 646-200-3400 if you can get through our phone screening. But so I would argue that less guns is dangerous. You know, some of the gun control fanatics, they'll say, well, more handguns in circulation equals more violent crime, or owning a handgun increases a person's risk of being killed. You know, keeping guns out of the hands of criminals prevents violent crime, and taking guns away from criminals reduces violent crime. How many laws do we have on the books that we can't enforce because there's so many illegal guns on the street, and that's what they're trying to reduce. But people are going to get guns if they want guns. The thugs are going to break into houses and get guns if they're going to get guns. It's just absurd to think that taking away guns is going to solve the problem. Taking away guns is taking the guns out of the way. It's like this. Let's go take guns away from police officers and let them just defend themselves with a baton. How about we do that? That's the exact same thing. Let's take the guns away from the officers and let them defend themselves with batons. Obama is saying the U.S. is heartbroken over the Fort Hood shooting. People there have sacrificed much for freedom. Again, President Obama is coming in. The U.S. is heartbroken over the Fort Hood shooting, and people there have sacrificed much for freedom. That's coming from the President of the United States. But the same president that says that will try to take away your freedom and try to take away your guns so you can't defend your family in times of crisis. Yesterday on the show, I had Delvis Dutton on, and Delvis Dutton is running for Congress as well in Georgia, and he's a state representative, and his language was used, I think it was in, and I may have this wrong, I don't have it here in front of me, but I believe it's State Bill 60, Senate Bill 60. And, you know, people all over the country have have really given Georgia a hard time. They call it the Guns Everywhere Bill, which it allows law-abiding citizens that have a carry permit to take guns into churches, into grocery stores, into public places, or, you know, wherever. But again, I'll say this one more time to you. If you go down the street or you're in a grocery store or you're in your child's school or you're in a theater and somebody pulls out a gun and wants to start shooting people, you know, in Colorado at that shooting, when all those people died, if one of those people would have had a gun and not been disarmed, do you think that shooter would have had as many casualties? Yeah, you're always going to have people to try to do something. You're always going to have that person. But how are you going to defend them? And, you know, as crazy as he is, he may have not even tried it if he would have known, I may be shot too. I may be shot before I can even get my gun out. Or how about somebody shoot him at least while he was reloading his gun? How about that? Oh, but Aaron, you're talking violence. You're talking violence. You're inciting violence. No, I'm not. I'm inciting the right for people to defend themselves. Defend their families. Nobody wants to see people get shot. No, nobody wants to. Not Republican, not Democrat. It looks like Fort Hood remains on lockdown right now. Nobody wants to see people get killed. Nobody wants to see those 13 children a day in the United States die. You know, guns don't kill, only people kill. And, you know, we have a Second Amendment right in the United States to bear arms. And why were we given... Why were we given that right? Because the founders of our Constitution wanted to make sure that if the government got out of control and became like a tyrannical type of government, that the citizenry of the United States could take back the country and defend ourselves. But the left, the wording on the Constitution, on the Second Amendment, says, a well-regulated militia. Well, you've got to think of the wording at the time. Well-regulated didn't mean, oh, let's let the government regulate this militia. It meant in today's terms, a well-equipped militia. And I'll argue the fact that the founders wanted the citizenry, us citizens, to have the same power that the government has when it comes to firearms. But the left wants to take that away. Think about that. You know, they lived in a time that tyrannical governments and tyrants were running amok, and they wanted to make sure that the United States citizen could defend themselves and take back the country if it got out of control. You know, that was 200 plus years ago. That's not a long time. You look at other governments, thousands and thousands of years. The United States is a newer country. Trying to get an Obama clip uploaded here, so we'll see. You know, we'll see if we can patch into him in a minute. But it's just sad. It's just sad the state that this country's in. We have government overreach, not just on these guns and everything. Look, we've got a government trying to force you to buy products and services that you don't have a choice in buying. You know, we talk about freedom, a freedom-loving country, but then you have the same people that love freedom saying you don't have a choice. You don't have the right to decide if you want health insurance or not. You've got to buy health insurance because, oh, we're the government. We know what's best for you. We're the government. We're big brother. We know what's best for you. Just buy it. Just try. Don't you, you know, this doesn't sound like a drug dealer. Oh, you know, don't worry. Trust me. Just try it. Just try it. And then you try the drug and then you become addicted to it. And then you're an addict. Same thing's going on with the government. The same exact thing is going on. Oh, just try it. Just try it. You'll like it. You'll like it. And then you get addicted to it and you can't live without it. So who do you vote into office? The same people that gave you what you needed to begin with. So you can keep living off of it. So you can continue to have it. When the government does that, they're no better than drug dealers. They operate in the same methodical way. Just give you a little bit. Just give you a little taste. Just try it. You'll like it. Just, you know, one little taste isn't going to hurt you. Oh, this health care isn't going to hurt you. And then you try it and you get addicted to it. And you just crave it and you want more and you become reliant on it and you want more. Doesn't it sound like the drug dealers and Obama or the drug dealers and the government are one and the same? So it sounds like to me. They operate in the same way. Just try it. You'll like it. You won't be able to live without it. You'll vote me back into office once you realize you can't live without it. The other side wants to take this away from you. The mean Republicans, the mean right, wants to take this away from you. Never mind that the other side or the good guys know what maybe what is best for you, that you having the right to stay drug-free, to stay independent, to have some self-respect, self-esteem, and not be on government funding and government programming and driving this country down into a hole because of the leeches and the parasites that are killing this country. It's time that we have somebody, some true leadership in Washington, D.C., that can say, you know what, enough is enough. Enough is enough. There's better ways to do things rather than make it a criminal act to not buy this product that the government is offering. And that's what they're doing. You're a criminal if you don't buy health insurance from the government. You have to pay a fine. They don't give fines to law-abiding citizens. You don't pay a fine for driving the speed limit, do you? You pay a fine for breaking the law and breaking the speed limit. Same thing. You know, I remember, and I'm going to date myself, I'm 35 years old, and I remember sitting in front of the TV just in awe, and I was, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old when Ronald Reagan was president, and just sat there in front of the TV in awe of that man. And I knew then that's the country I wanted to live in. That's the country I wanted to grow up in. That's the country that one day I want to raise my children in. You know, 30 years later, is that the country that we live in? Who would have ever thought that the government would have been able to force you to buy a product? Or listened in on all your conversations, had the ability to tape and record your conversations, read your emails, almost dive into your thoughts. That's what's going on right now. That's not a science fiction movie. That's what's going on right now in your government. And we need more people to be able to take action and vote people like Bob Barr that's coming on in a few minutes. Vote him into office. Delvis Dutton that was on yesterday, vote him into office. Karen Handel running for Senate that was on two nights ago, vote her into office. All these people I'm a staunch supporter for and endorse. Why? Not because they're coming on this program, not because they're coming on the Aaron McCready Show. I could give a flip about that. What I care about is how they are going to act in Washington, D.C. and stand up for the average everyday American, rein in government, rein in spending, give you more freedom, give you your government back, because we are the ones in charge, not the politicians. That's what I want for America. That's what I want. And we're not getting it. And so it's going to take people like Bob Barr, Delvis Dutton, Karen Handel, to go up there for us and fight the fight, and we need to have their backs and support them 110% and continue to give them encouragement so when they go up there, they don't turn into what is up there already. And Bob Barr's been in Congress, and he knows what it takes, and he has came back the same person, the same constitutional, conservative person that needs to go up there and fight the good fight. He'll be on in about 5 minutes. Right now, we're going to Fox News.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Ron Flatter. More than 4 years after 13 people were murdered there, there's been another shooting at the Fort Hood Army base in Texas. More live from Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal.
Our Fox affiliate in Dallas is reporting that one person has been killed and that several others have been injured. Everyone at Fort Hood was told to shelter in place. A senior law enforcement official has told Fox it's believed the threat of one shooter has been neutralized, but that they were looking for other possible suspects. Donnie Adams is a lieutenant with the Bell County Sheriff's Department.
We have deputies and state troopers responding to the gates to assist in securing the perimeters at Fort Hood.
The shooter was believed to be in the base's medical brigade building. President Obama has been informed of this shooting, Ron.
Jessica, more questions about Benghazi from House Republicans not satisfied with the administration's explanation of the attack on Americans a year and a half ago. Former Deputy CIA Director Michael Morell was asked by the House Intelligence Committee why he didn't answer earlier questions about the administration changing details of the attack.
What I wish I would have done was to say to you, Chairman, I do not know who took Al-Qaeda out of the talking points, but you should know that I myself made a number of changes to the points.
At best, it's misleading by omission what you did that day and continue to do afterwards, or at worst, lying by omission.
And the response from New York Republican Peter King. The Supreme Court has voted 5-4 to do away with restrictions on direct campaign contributions. Republican National Chairman Reince Priebus saying,
you can give to the Senate committee, the Congressional committee, and the RNC, and you can max out to all three.
Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island saying,
it's a really disturbing decision following a really disturbing decision in Citizens United.
That was the case 4 years ago that saw the court end campaign limits for corporations and for unions, also by a 5-4 vote. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Real experience, real insight.
We're following this explosive story.
Nothing gets by Greta. Then.
This is all BS. What was that all about?
There's no spin and no question. O'Reilly dominates. Plus, smart, sharp, and cutting edge.
It's the news of the day, but with a little heat.
Megan delivers. And Sean seals the deal with fearless talk.
What part of that are you understanding?
Most watched. Most trusted. Fox News Channel.
There's more to Fox News Radio than meets the ear. Go behind the headlines and join the conversation on the hottest stories of the day on the Fox News Radio Facebook page. Be a part of the Fox News Radio Facebook fan community. Post comments and tell us your opinion. See behind-the-scenes photos and videos and post your reactions to the stories that matter to you. Click the like button on Facebook and connect with breaking news and features like Fox in the Fast Lane, House Call for Help, and more. Go to Facebook.com/Fox News Radio.
Our top story is this afternoon shooting at Fort Hood in Texas. Fox 4 in North Texas saying one person was killed, several others injured. A senior law enforcement source telling Fox News that one shooter has been neutralized and that another may be in the area. The leaders of Australia and Malaysia are expected shortly to make a joint statement as the search resumes for the missing Malaysia airliner.
Now they're bringing in their next weapon, which is the HMS Tireless, that nuclear sub. And the reason they're using this is because it's got those extra sonar capabilities to help pick up the pings from the black boxes. But the problem is the sub has to be within a mile of where the ping originates to actually hear it. And when you're talking about 150,000 square mile search area, you would need a whole lot of luck for that. Now, when the batteries on the black boxes finally do die, the next step would be to use the unmanned subs. They have what they call side sonar to pick up unusual objects on the sea floor. They can also stay down 19,000 feet for up to 24 hours at a time, but they do not stream data back to the surface. They have to be brought back to the surface, and the data has to be unloaded.
Fox's Trace Gallagher. In Egypt's capital city, three explosions rocked Cairo University, killing a police general and wounding seven other people, taking the ongoing violence to the next level between police loyal to the military government and students loyal to former President Mohamed Morsi. At least six people died in last night's 8.2 earthquake off the north coast of Chile.
Experts are telling us that this earthquake could have been much worse if it hadn't hit so deep in the ocean, 6 miles deep to be exact, but it still forced about 900,000 people to evacuate. There were large power outages, landslides, damage at an airport. The president of Chile has declared a state of emergency after the 8.2 quake. Since then, there have been more than 20 aftershocks.
Fox's Will Carr. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
A colorless landscape. The future is in peril. What we need now is a shining hope. Bringing the nation back. One photo at a time. This is Aaron McCready.
To the program, everyone. Joining me in a few moments will be Bob Barr. He is running for Congress. He's a former congressman, and I'll do his introduction so you get to know him in just a minute. But if you're just joining us, tragedy in Texas, Fort Hood, and, you know, this happened almost 5 years ago. And, you know, like I said, I would argue the point that we need less gun regulation rather than more. We need less gun regulation rather than more. Because you know what? As they say, when there's a bad guy with a gun, who do you wish that were there? You wish that a good guy with a gun was there. That's what you wish. And what we're doing now is the more regulations we implement, we're taking the guns out of law-abiding citizens' hand, and we're not doing a flipping thing with the bad guys. They still have the guns. You know, I mentioned earlier in the Colorado shooting at the theater. If someone had a gun there, do you think that they would have killed? He would have killed as many people as he did? Do you really think that? You know, I don't think that. I think they would have got him when he reloaded his gun. That's what I think. They would have got him when he pulled out that huge gun or whatever he had, and somebody would have got him. Because if you go into a theater and you pull out your gun, you might think twice if maybe five or six other people are going to pull their gun and aim it right at you. Unless you're on a suicide mission in which, you know, hey, let them blow you away. That's fine. At least the people save other people's lives. You know, it's just such a tragedy what we've come to as a nation right now. And we need people in office that will take a stand for what's right, not what's always popular. Such a sad situation, you know, and on average a day, 13 children are killed by guns. But you know what? Maybe, and that's between 10 to 19 years old. I don't have the statistics for, you know, how old the gangbangers are walking up and down the street that are shooting people. You know, sometimes it's a gang initiation to go in and just go shoot somebody just for the fun of it. They might think twice if they think that person may have a gun also. That's what I think. You know, Senator Harry Reid announced legislation, I believe it's Senate Bill 649, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But he wants the Attorney General to publish an annual list of states that are doing poorly in submitting criminal records. Let me say that one more time, and I'll explain why it's so significant. That the Attorney General will publish an annual list of states that are doing poorly in submitting their criminal records. Now, if you're a criminal, if you are a criminal, don't you think you'd look at that list and say, if I want to go buy a gun, let me see here. What states could I go to that's not providing a background check? I'm not saying eliminate background checks. Continue the background checks, but by gosh, you know, it's just making it easier for criminals. We should be making it harder for criminals, shouldn't we? We should be making it harder for criminals to get the guns. You know, in a few minutes we'll have Bob Barr on the line. And, you know, it's just, I'd love to get his opinion on this. We're going to ask him in a minute. Yes, Adam, that's correct. He's sorry. He's talking to me in my ear here. Yes, that's correct, Adam. But I don't understand why the left wants to regulate so much. You know, before the break, before the break, I use the analogy of a drug dealer and the government. Just try it. Just try it. Just takes a little bit. Just a little bit. Just have this little bit. Oh, you just have this. Just have this phone. Just have this Obama phone. Yo, you're gonna like it. You really will. And then what happens? You become addicted to it. You become addicted to it. You know, I'm looking at a poll here. And 63% of Americans remain unconvinced that tighter gun regulations will decrease crime. 63% of Americans. 63% of Americans. Only 26% said it would be effective. Seventifor% said that when we do background checks, that when we do background checks, they're ineffective. You know, again, I would argue that we need less gun regulations rather than more, because we're taking the guns out of the hands of the average everyday American that can protect their families, can protect their livelihoods. It's only putting hands in the, you know, the guns in the hand of criminals. I mean, it really does. It just breaks my heart. But, you know, as promised, joining me on the phone is Bob Barr. And as you know, Bob was President Reagan's U.S. attorney. And as a congressman, as you recall, he fought and led the efforts for the impeachment of President Bill Clinton. And in 1994, he was part of the group of Republicans that passed balanced budgets, deficit, and cut taxes. He was in Congress, and he's running again for Congress in the state of Georgia. Bob Barr, welcome to the program.
Aaron, listen, thanks so much for letting me share some time with you and your listeners this evening. You know, you mentioned some of the work that I was involved with when I served in the Congress previously, the impeachment of Bill Clinton, balancing the budget, cutting taxes, reforming welfare, protecting our Second Amendment rights. And it simply drives home the fact that we can get these things done. You know, it's not impossible, even with a Democratic president, to get, you know, to see some movement on our conservative agenda, but it takes folks with the backbone, the wherewithal, the knowledge to actually know how to translate our conservative principles into action. That's what's missing these days.
Well, you know, one concern I have, and hopefully you can help me with this, is I believe our president is so arrogant in how he acts and how he operates that, you know, that, and even the lies he tells, he really believes those lies and believes he's correct, and that's more dangerous than somebody that is telling lies that, you know that they're telling lies. But how can we, with somebody that's so arrogant, let's say in November we have a Republican majority in the Senate and Republican majority in the House, and, you know, we are getting things done left and right, and then it goes to his signature, and he's so arrogant that, you know, why would he sign something with how he's operated in the past?
Aaron, you've put your finger on the one characteristic of this president that puts him in a class by himself, and that is arrogance. He is the most arrogant public official, public servant that I have ever come across in my life. Much more arrogant than Jimmy Carter, much more arrogant than Bill Clinton. And it does make him, you're absolutely correct, it makes him very difficult to deal with. In answer to your question of the way we get things done, particularly if we are able, as I think we will, to gain control of the Senate in this year's 2014 elections, then what we have to do is we have to use the tremendous power that resides in the House of Representatives, the budget power, the power of the purse strings, to place restrictions on spending bills that the president, that President Obama, must have. For example, the appropriations bill that funds the executive branch, that funds the White House. President Obama has to have that piece of legislation. So if we, for example, stick to our guns and pass a rider to the White House appropriations bill that prohibits funding for particular executive orders or other executive actions that this president has taken that are contrary to law or the Constitution, then he has two choices. He either signs the legislation with those restrictions because he wants to run the executive branch, or he has to sit down with Congress and negotiate. That power of the purse strings is the most important power that the Congress has, and the House simply has to do a better job of making sure that they really use that power effectively and courageously.
Well, what's going on up there right now? Because we do have a Republican majority in the House, and you know, in my opinion, and you may disagree with me on this, and we have to go do a little tussle on it, I don't know, but I think Speaker Boehner is inappropriate for that position. I just do not see him standing up like he needs to and bringing conservative thoughts and ideas to the president. I just do not see that rapport going on between the president and the speaker.
It's very problematic. It's very difficult to do. But again, Aaron, I return to where we were back in 1995 and 1996, which was the first Congress in which we had a Republican majority in the House for the first time in 40 years. We had back then, and I was part of that freshman class of 1994 that took office in 1995, we had a very strong, very diverse group of freshmen. And what Newt Gingrich, who was the speaker at the time, urged us to do, and he was very correct about this, and John Boehner was part of that group, Tom DeLay, the majority whip, was part of that group. He reminded us that we are there to get things done. We are there to move the conservative agenda forward. And you don't do that by one vote, by one spending bill. You do it by having a plan that takes you through a period of time with your ultimate goal being what we finally wound up with in 1997, and that is forcing a Democratic president to sign not only a balanced budget, but tax relief, tax reduction, and welfare reform. None of the three of those bills did Clinton want. But we forced him by denying him the ability to get any of his spending bills through. We forced him to the negotiating table to finally get the first balanced budget in more than three decades. And it lasted, unfortunately, only a few years until Clinton left office. But you do it by reminding Republicans behind closed doors. You don't fight these battles publicly. You do it within your caucus. You hold the line, you make sure that your members realize that your goal goes beyond simply one vote, one bill, one budget, that you have to set a certain tone for negotiating and hold the line. That's what we did back in 1996 and 97, and we were able to achieve tremendously positive results for the American people.
I hope we can do that again with this president because, you know, once this this new Congress would take effect, he would have 2 years left in his administration and not running for reelection. So I just hope that he's just not, that he comes down off his high horse a little bit and does negotiate and just doesn't, take it as, I don't have to run for reelection. Why do I have to lose? But then again, maybe he'll think about the Democratic Party and the effect that it would have on them. So maybe he will negotiate. I don't know.
Well, if the House does its job, and that's why I would like to be a part of that effort, to once again do exactly the same thing that we did back in 95, 96, and 97, and that is to deny a Democrat president a positive vote on any of his spending bills. We define the playing field getting us to a balanced budget. Yes, we can do it, but it takes discipline and it takes backbone, and we have to have folks up there, myself included, this is why I'm running to return to the Congress, who understand that and who have the foresight to look beyond a particular vote or even a particular session of the Congress to make sure we don't lose sight of our long-term goal, which is to balance the budget and start dramatically reducing the massive federal debt that is facing ourselves and future generations.
You know, one thing that concerns me too, and I know it probably does you, is Obamacare. And I never in my life thought that I would ever see the day where the United States government would force its citizens to purchase a product, or it would, you know, pretty much in my view, make them a criminal. You know, if we can repeal Obamacare, do you think we should repeal it right away, or that we need to get a logical replacement in place so citizens do not lose their health insurance while this bill has been repealed?
Obamacare is so bad that I will do everything to get rid of it. If we could abolish it tomorrow, I would do so. The fact of the matter is that there are serious problems, not with the quality of health care in our country. We still have the highest quality of health care of any country in the world. That's why people flock to the United States of America for health care. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why Canadians in droves come down to America for health care, because they know that their socialized system of health care delivery in Canada prevents them from getting the care that they need, so they come to America. But the problems, by and large, Aaron, the problems that we have with the high cost and the failure to adequately deliver that high quality of health care to American citizens largely is a result of federal government efforts, legislative efforts over the decades to interfere with the free market forces. So what we need to do is we need to start dismantling a number of those federal programs, federal regulations, federal restrictions that stop the free market delivery of health care from operating. That's what we need to be doing. For example, so that an individual can purchase a health insurance policy tailored to their needs, not tailored to the whims of some government bureaucracy that says, well, since we think that OBGYN services are important for insurance companies to provide, therefore everybody has to have them. I mean, that's nonsense. Mm-hmm. So what you need is to lessen the federal restrictions that dictate what has to be included in insurance programs. You provide that an individual owns his or her insurance, a health insurance policy, so that they can take it with them and not be required to be dependent on a particular employer. And perhaps even most importantly, you have to remove the restriction that prohibits a person from obtaining an insurance policy from an insurer in another state. I mean, these restrictions not only limit individual choice, but they dramatically raise the cost of health care. So that's where we need to start. Repeal Obamacare as quickly as we can, but in the meantime, start reducing rather than increasing the number and type of government restrictions on the free market.
Well, that's exactly what I think we need to do, because it's just – you know, government overreach and you know, just like the NSA, and I believe either yesterday or today the Washington Post had a story that the intelligence director said that Americans' communications were searched without a warrant. And what can we do, what can the Congress do? And, you know, Obama said last week that that, you know, they're going to stop doing this, but what can Congress do to ensure that Americans have some sense of privacy and that the government isn't going through their emails or taping their phone calls without a, you know, without probable cause? And doesn't that fly in the face of directly into the Constitution on unreasonable search and seizure?
It definitely does, Aaron. And what you've just articulated is a principle that far too few Americans recognize anymore, and that is that we have in this country, thanks to the Fourth Amendment most prominently, but other amendments and other provisions in our Constitution as well, but most noticeably, most importantly in the Fourth Amendment, we do have a God-given, constitutionally protected right to privacy. The Constitution, as you've indicated, protects us against any unreasonable search or seizure, and it guarantees or should guarantee us or is supposed to guarantee us that no warrant shall issue to search our persons, papers, effects, or houses without good reason, without probable cause. Yet what is happening with regard to the use of digital communications technology that is now available to the NSA, the CIA, and all these other government agencies, it allows them to vacuum in vast, unbelievably vast quantities of telecommunications data without any cause whatsoever, reasonable suspicion or anything. They gather this all in under the principle that, well, if we don't gather it all in, then if something happens later on, we won't have the ability to link all of these different pieces. Well, our framers, even though they didn't face the technology that is available to NSA nowadays, they understood how government operated. And they understood that if allowed to, for example, go into people's mail, which was the mode of communication back in the late 18th century, and to look at people's mail, they could, in fact, control the citizenry and intimidate people. That is exactly what's happening now. There is an awful lot, Aaron, that Congress can do. Congress should be placing some very serious restrictions on this NSA so-called metadata gathering program. They should take a very hard look at this massive multi-billion dollar facility that NSA is currently building out in Utah. They should be forcing, by legislative restrictions, the CIA back to doing what it always was supposed to do and does well, and that is gather foreign intelligence, not be involved domestically. Congress needs to place those restrictions on our intelligence agencies, and in so doing, they will not be hampering the foreign intelligence capabilities of those agencies. They will be enhancing them because they are wasting so much time, so much effort, so much money now on gathering domestic intelligence that they're not doing the job that they ought to be doing with regard to foreign intelligence.
You know, you are a former federal prosecutor and have been an attorney for many, many years, and this is a concern I have with, especially with our judicial branch right now. You know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, one of the judges' main jobs is to interpret the spirit of the law. And, you know, when, you know, unreasonable search and seizure, yes, you know, like you said, it's, you know, it pretty much only affected the mail then. But now we have emails, we have cell phones, we have text messages. Wouldn't the spirit of the law written back in the 1700s, 1800s, if you really look at the true spirit of the law, shouldn't the NSA be in gross violation of the Constitution?
They are, Aaron. I absolutely agree with you. And they ought to be challenged, not only in court. Congress ought to be placing legislative limitations and appropriations limitations on what they're doing, but Congress ought to be challenging the NSA in the courts. Instead, we have private parties and private entities challenging the NSA programs, which is good, but it's very costly and very difficult for private entities to challenge the NSA in court. One organization that has challenged the NSA successfully thus far, I might add, is an individual named Larry Klayman, who used to head Judicial Watch. He's now out with another organization, which name escapes me, but Larry Klayman last fall brought the first successful challenge to the NSA so-called metadata spying program. So the premise was of that lawsuit that the NSA, through gathering the so-called metadata, without any reasonable suspicion that the persons on whom they were gathering it had violated any law whatsoever, they challenged it based on fundamental constitutional violation of Fourth Amendment grounds. And the judge, who was a federal district court judge in Washington, D.C., agreed with them. Now, Of course, the federal government is taking that case up on appeal, but thank goodness that we do have individuals like Larry Klayman and organizations like the Electronic Frontier Foundation that have the ability and the resources to challenge these things. But Congress needs to be doing more. Congress could challenge these programs in court in addition to constantly placing restrictive riders on appropriations for these agencies.
You know, I know you're a busy man, and I've got just a couple more questions for you. But one thing that also concerns me is the military. And the Department of Defense recently announced that they were going to have some military cuts and focus more on, I think, cyber threats. And while in the meantime, we have Vladimir Putin over there, you know, invading Crimea and maybe Ukraine. And also, you know, compared to Putin, we have a appears a very weak president compared to him and makes the United States weak. If you were sent on a diplomatic mission over to Russia, what would you talk to Putin about? And is there any way that we can, while Barack Obama is still in office, save a little face with the world and show them that America is still a strong player, even though we have a weak president?
You put your finger here again. I hate to keep saying this, Aaron, but I mean, you raise very, very good and very timely points. The fact of the matter is, when we show a weak hand and a weak response to Putin, as we have done, then not only does Putin then, as the prime minister of, or president, whatever he is over in Russia, not only does that embolden him to take further steps to gobble up more areas that the Soviet Union lost when it broke up, and Putin and his Russian colleagues would like to reclaim, but it also has two other negative effects. One, it emboldens our other adversaries, whether that be Iran or China or North Korea. They look at us and they say, you know, the United States is not standing up to Russia. They're backing down. They're weak. They don't know what they're doing. They have an inconsistent foreign policy. That emboldens them to then start testing us as well. The other negative effect that it has is our allies see that weakness, and they say, well, you know, Obama doesn't have the backbone to stand up to Putin. Therefore, he's not going to have the backbone to stand up with us, allies of the United States. Therefore, we're going to have to look elsewhere for friends and military support, and therefore it weakens us in terms of our allies. It's a recipe for disaster. What we needed to have done and what we still need to be doing, for example, is we should have gone to the Ukraine when this problem first manifested itself and said, we will give you not only economic, we will provide massive and immediate military assistance. We will provide equipment to you. We will provide military money to you so that you can properly arm yourselves and defend yourselves. And we should have at the same time immediately done exactly what the Russians are doing, and that is holding naval exercises in that part of the world, in the Black Sea. They're doing it. We should have done it as well. But where we really dropped the ball was failing to tell Ukraine, which was begging for U.S. support, that we would, in fact, back them with military assistance at a time when they needed it most.
You know, I just hope that we can, you know, and we're really going to need a strong president like a Ronald Reagan, I believe, to overcome, you know, just like Jimmy Carter and we had Reagan afterwards. We need someone Reagan-esque, I guess, you know, just like where we have Obama. Right now, we're going to need a strong Republican conservative president to I think, correct some of the wrongs that Obama has done to our country. But one last question I have for you, and of course today we had a shooting down at Fort Hood, which you know, that's a tragedy in itself. But you know, that brings me to a question about the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. And here in Georgia, as I know that you probably know as well, there was a House bill that passed, and the opponents call it the Guns Everywhere bill, which allows people that have the right to carry, have a carry permit to bring guns to possibly churches, schools, you know, public places. Do you feel that the government has created so many regulations to try to strip away guns of law-abiding citizens that it is really empowering the criminals? And, you know, like, you know, it says well-regulated militia, that now, you know, the intentions of the founders are such that that's been stripped away also, that that what they put in the Constitution no longer exists how they intended it.
That's absolutely correct. And even though we have had in the past several years, in 2008, the so-called Heller decision out of the District of Columbia, and then 2 years later, the McDonald decision out of Chicago, we do have two important Supreme Court cases that firmly established that the right to keep and bear arms meant exactly what it said, and that is it protects an individual God-given right to keep and bear arms, that is, for whatever lawful purpose the individual desires, and that a state, either the District of Columbia government or a state authority such as Illinois or under it the city of Chicago, cannot regulate that right away. Even though we have those two important decisions, they're still, because those decisions were not ironclad, and I have some disagreement with particularly Justice Scalia in the City McDonald v. City of Chicago case, that it didn't go far enough, it wasn't broadly worded enough. Even though we have those, we still have many, many state and local governments that continue to place very serious roadblocks in the way of individuals being able to exercise their right to keep and bear arms. You know, now, as we saw here in Georgia, as you in the General Assembly passed a piece of legislation that marginally improved the situation in Georgia with regard to an individual's right to carry a firearm where they wish to. You know, it wasn't a radical bill. It simply said that if you have, for example, a church that allows firearms, you can carry a firearm in that church. You know, not exactly a dramatic change in the law, but, you know, something that certainly is welcome. But there were newspapers, I think the New York Times just went off the deep end about how awful this legislation was. People are going to carry guns everywhere they go and shooting and so forth. The fact of the matter is that the vast majority of American citizens who exercise their right to keep and bear arms, particularly those who are a member of the NRA on whose board I serve, are responsible, law-abiding citizens. That's not the problem. The problem is the criminals. And every time we weaken the ability of the law-abiding citizenry to keep and bear arms, we increase the ability of the criminal element to not only keep and bear arms themselves, but to use that power because they know where the citizenry is not armed. I mean, it's just common sense, but that certainly has never been something that is accused to the gun control people of possessing. Common sense, that is.
Right. Well, sir, you have a big debate coming up on Saturday over at the Cobb Galleria at 7 o'clock, so I wish you luck on that. But where can the voters of the 11th Congressional District go to find out more information about Bob Barr?
Very easy. Thank you, Aaron. They can go to our, of course, our website, www.barrcongress.com. They can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We have a very active social media network, but very easy. Just Barr Congress. If you go on the Internet, that'll get you directly to us, and people can find out where they can help us.
Well, sir, I appreciate you coming on, and I really do believe this. I'm not just saying this because you came on the show, but I believe that America and Georgia need someone like you back in Congress because, you know, you can go there, you have, you can hit the ground running, you've been there before, you know what it takes, your record speaks for itself, and if there's anything I can do for you, whether it's here in Georgia or when you get to Washington, D.C., and I know that you will be elected, I just know that, we can't afford you not to be. please let me know. I will stand shoulder to shoulder with you and try to bring this country back to how the founders intended it. Thank you for being on.
Thank you, Aaron. I look forward to working with you during the campaign and long thereafter.
Well, thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Congressman, former Congressman Bob Barr, and he is running for the 11th district here in Georgia, and there's no doubt that he is going to win. We cannot afford for him not to win. So go to barrcongress.com, like he said, barrcongress.com, and find out more about him there. You can also donate to his campaign there and read on his issues. And then you can just search Bob Barr on the internet. He will pop up. He is very famous for speaking his mind, doing what he feels is right. And, of course, like he said earlier, taking on the Clinton administration in the impeachment proceedings. It was a pleasure and joy to be with you tonight. My condolences to all the family members of the injured and the shootings today at Fort Hood. My thanks to Bob Barr. I really appreciate him coming on. You can follow us on Twitter at Aaron McCready or go to my website, aaronmccready.com. All the previous episodes are there, or you can, of course, go to blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready. That's AaronMcCready. Thank you for bringing me into your homes tonight, and we'll see you next time. Then the Aaron McCready Show.